Take your Bible, as Pastor said. Isaiah chapter 40 is the text of the morning. And really, really, when I think about some scripture texts, some chapters of the Bible that I am time and time again going back to, about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago maybe now, I was just redirected back to Isaiah 40. I was actually driving in my car, Pastor, early on a Sunday morning to preach at a church in a different part of the state. And I was listening to a podcast, and that podcast lapsed right over into another one. And on there, it was actually Paul Tripp. And Paul Tripp was talking about a problem that oftentimes we have as believers in Christ. And he called it all amnesia. And it got my attention. And he shared several scriptures that were useful and are useful to helping us to remember the awesomeness of God and not to become forgetful of it. And I was reminded in the midst of that of how years ago I had preached Isaiah 40. I was preaching through major portions of the book of Isaiah. And so the next morning in my normal Bible reading time, I did that, but then I turned to Isaiah 40. And once again, I was reminded that there are just certain chapters of the Bible. And you want to be careful. You know, people ask sometimes, well, what's your favorite Bible verse? I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel kind of awkward about that. It's kind of like if someone asked me, well, you have three children, which one's your favorite, you know? Now, my two older children think that the youngest one is my favorite. I said, well, she's not my favorite. She just seems easier sometimes than you guys. That's all I can say, you know? But no, she's not my favorite. But aren't there certain chapters of the Bible, certain verses that just grab you? Aren't there just certain go-to places in the Bible that you find yourself running to from time to time? I mean, there's a reason that when oftentimes people may be planning for a funeral, they're going through suffering or they're in the hospital, that they'll ask you to read the 23rd Psalm. I mean, isn't there a reason that you've probably at times been drawn back to Romans chapter 8? One of the great chapters of the Bible. All the Bible's inerrant, amen? It's God's infallible word. It's absolutely true, absolutely perfect. But aren't you thankful for certain places in the Bible where God seems to just overwhelm us with His greatness and with His grace, with His majesty, and with His mercy, amen? Well, Isaiah 40 is one of those chapters. So look at it with me if you would. Isaiah 40, the prophet is instructed to write these words, comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. Now, we could stop right there, couldn't we? Now, aren't you glad this morning, on this Sunday morning, that you've come here and God wants to say to you, comfort, comfort, my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. Isn't that good news? Isn't it good news that the war and the strife and the violence and the hatred that we see across the land, that day is going to one day come to an end. And isn't it good news that no matter what you've done, no matter what your iniquity, that has been pardoned, that Jesus has paid for all of our sins. That's good news. I don't know about you, but sometimes from Monday to Sunday morning, I can begin to become forgetful of those great statements, of God's greatness, of His grace. Isaiah chapter 40 calls us back, calls us to remember. Verse 3, a voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Doesn't this sound, I've heard someone say this before, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Who said that? Who else said that? John the Baptist, he was quoting Isaiah 40. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up. And every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. See, that's the idea. That God is going to move mountains. He's going to raise valleys. Folks, He's going to bring His comfort to you and me, and He's going to bring it quick. He's going to bring it fast. Nothing's going to stand in His way. I picture a speeding highway in the middle of the desert, straightway. You know what? When you and I need it, when we're in our time of need, when we're in our time of anxiety and suffering, God comes to us and He comes in a hurry. Amen? God's comfort and His strength is right there for us. That's what God is telling Isaiah to tell the people of God. Verse 5, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now a voice says, cry. And the prophet said, well, what shall I cry? And he gives a description. He gives a description of our frailty, of our humanity. All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers. You ought to underline this verse. The grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of our God will stand forever. Loved ones, that's good news. Now here is what I'm going to focus on for the rest of the sermon. Now that, what we've just looked at, that ought to really encourage us. He starts off saying, comfort, comfort my people. Now here's what you and I can count on. You can depend on the comfort and strength of God because of this. Because our God is greater than anything or anyone. And that's what the rest of the chapter proclaims. He says in verse 9, go up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up. Fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, here it is, church, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Here's the message of today. Here's the solitary point of this sermon. Our God is awesome, and his comfort and strength is all we need. Would you say that with me? Our God is awesome, and his comfort and strength is all we need. But here's how we struggle. We oftentimes seem to grow forgetful, or we just begin to have a faulty mindset or comparison when it comes to God being awesome. It reminds me, in June of this summer, Pastor, I was able to fulfill something that my wife had asked me to do 23 years ago when we got married. She said, one day, would you take me to the Grand Canyon? So this summer, we were in Arizona for the Southern Baptist Convention, and so afterwards, we took a little vacation, and I took my wife and our three children, and we saw the Grand Canyon. And it was a majestic sight. I think I got a picture right here. Just a tremendous sight. That's our three children right there. And just look at that Grand Canyon behind those three beautiful children. I mean, the Grand Canyon is there. And my oldest daughter put it like this. She said, Dad, she said, a picture just doesn't do the Grand Canyon justice. Someone just has to experience the Grand Canyon for themselves. And that's how God is. It's hard for me this morning to really describe the awesomeness of God. But here's a mistake I want to illustrate for you that we often make. You know, when I came back from that trip, friends, family, they'd ask me, they said, well, what was it? How was the Grand Canyon? Man, it looked like a fantastic trip. We saw some of the pictures. And I said, oh, the Grand Canyon, it was so majestic. It was so awesome. It was grand. It was just overwhelming. What a sight to see. And you know, we stayed in this town called Sedona, and there was this ice cream shop there that had the best homemade ice cream. I mean, this ice cream was incredible. I wish you could have a taste of this ice cream. And see, right there in the same breath, in the same paragraph, I went from talking about the Grand Canyon, one of the seven wonders of the world, to talking about ice cream. Now you need to understand something. Now, this ice cream was incredible. I mean, I wish I could give you a taste of it right now. I mean, this ice cream is some of the best ice cream I've ever had. But how silly is it to compare in the same breath ice cream to the Grand Canyon? But how often do we, throughout the week, we'll say, oh man, that's awesome. That movie, oh, that was an awesome movie. Oh, that ball game, that was an awesome ball game. Here's a challenge for you. Why don't you reserve the word awesome for God from now on? Amen? I mean, God alone is awesome, right, church? God is awesome, and his comfort and strength is all that we need. I want to pause right now and allow us to do something. for us just to pray to our awesome God, and for us to just repent of the times that we have failed to remember His awesomeness. Father, right now, in the middle of a sermon, Lord, we just want to come before You. And God, we want to say, God, forgive us. Forgive us for the times that we've grown forgetful, that indeed, perhaps, we've tended to have amnesia when it comes to Your awesomeness. God, we need Your comfort. We need Your strength. And I pray today You will remind us that You're awesome and Your comfort and strength is all that we need. In Jesus' name, amen. Now what I want to do for the rest of my time with you is I want to just walk you through the rest of the passage, and I want to give you a handful of comparisons. I want to give you some comparisons to remember that God is awesome. Number one is this: God is more awesome than even the earth. The Bible tells us in verse 12, who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand and marked off the heavens with a span, enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Oh, God is more awesome than even the earth. You know, when you think about the waters on the earth, I did a little bit of research. Realize there are, in the oceans of the earth, there are 300 million trillion gallons of water. Now that number right there, you and I, we can't even really grasp how huge, how big that number is. In fact, usually scientists, if you look it up, they're going to give you the amount of water in the oceans, usually in the term of cubic miles. But most of us don't really know how to think about a cubic mile, but I bet you've held a gallon of milk in your hand. When you think about the waters of the ocean, 300 million trillion, yep, here's how the Bible described it. He's measured the waters in the hollow of His hand. You know, you make that short drive over to Virginia Beach, down there to the shores of the Atlantic. And when you go out there and you look at that ocean, those miles and miles of water. Just think about this. Your God is so awesome. All the waters of the earth He could hold in the hollow of His hand. God is awesome. The Bible says, and marked off the heavens with a span. It's as if God said, well, you know, when He was creating the heavens and the earth, He said, well, how big am I going to make the heavens? Well, I think I'll make them just about that big, Pastor. That's how He measured it all. And then I love this illustration. Enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales. The picture is that when it comes to all the dirt on this earth, when it comes to all the land, that God could scoop it up in a measuring cup and pour it out. I remember a few years ago, I ordered 3 cubic yards of mulch to be delivered to my house, and a dump truck came and dumped it in the driveway. And I learned this, that the mulch man has a different idea when it comes to yards than I had, all right? I mean, it was amazing how much mulch this turned into. I mean, I would go out there, and I would shovel mulch, and I'd put it in a wheelbarrow, and I'd shovel it, and I'd put it in the wheelbarrow, and I'd roll over, and I'd dump it out, and I'd spread it, and I'd come back out the next morning, and I don't know what that mulch was doing overnight, but there would be more mulch when I showed up. It was amazing how this mulch seemed to multiply. 3 little cubic yards of mulch about broke my back. And the picture here of God's awesomeness is all of the dirt and land of this earth, it could be in a measuring cup. God is more awesome than the earth. God is awesome. His comfort and strength is all we need. Say it with me. God is awesome. God is awesome. God is more awesome than the nations. The Bible goes on and says in verse 15, behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are counted as dust on the scales. You know, back in ancient days, they wouldn't worry about dust on the scales. Behold, He takes up the coastlands like fine dust. But I like this illustration, this analogy about how the nations are like a drop in a bucket. Now this afternoon you go back home and you fill up your watering can with water to water some plants, or maybe you put some water in a bucket to, maybe you want to wash over your car, something like that, and all of a sudden you're walking from the backyard to the front yard and a drop falls out of your bucket or out of your watering can. Now I doubt anybody in this room in frustration and in disgust is going to take that bucket of water or that watering can and throw it on the ground and say, my day is ruined. I've lost a drop in the bucket. You're not going to do that. That's why we even have that saying, drop in a bucket. You don't really worry about a drop in a bucket, do you? You don't really sweat that. And here the analogy is this. Listen to it. The nations are like a drop from a bucket. God is more awesome than all the nations. Now, folks, I know I grew up not far from here, as Pastor said. I know I'm in an area where there's a lot of military, and a lot of you have been called upon, and you are called upon, you have loved ones called upon to defend this nation. And I know right now that we have concerns about what's happening in North Korea, rightly so. Our organization's involved in preparing for the Olympics that's to come in Korea not too long from now, and we're preparing for a major outreach there. And I think about some friends of mine that have family there in on that Korean peninsula. And we think about nations like that. I saw in the news early this morning how Iran's talking about now ramping up their missile program. We think about all these nations. And loved ones, I just want to remind you this morning that God is more awesome. I would point you to the Egyptian Empire. I would point you to the Babylonians and the Assyrians and to the Persians and to the Greeks and to the Romans. I remember growing up wringing our hands about the Soviet Union. Nations, will they come and go? Now, I think there's a word here for us, too. Now, let me be clear. If I could sing as good as Lee Greenwood, I might be tempted to sing, you know, a song for you this morning. I might be tempted to sing for you about how much I love our country. And I do love. I am so thankful. And I am proud to be an American. But loved ones, make no mistake about it. As followers of Jesus, we are children of the King. And we are sojourners. We are pilgrims in this land. We ought to be thankful for the freedoms we have and the opportunities we have. But make no mistake about it. We need to pray for revival in this nation, spiritual awakening in this nation, and the nations upon this earth. But never forget this. God is more awesome than all the nations. God is awesome. His comfort and strength is all we need. Number three, a third comparison, God's more awesome than any idols. The Bible tells us in verse 18, to whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness compare with him? An idol? A craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and casts for it silver chains. He who is too impoverished for an offering, will you choose wood that will not rot? He seeks out a skillful craftsman to set up an idol that will not move. Now you say, now Brian, we got this one. Now you're not even being relevant. We don't struggle with idols in Hampton Roads. We don't struggle with idols in Virginia. We don't struggle with idols in 2017. Really? You and I know better, don't we? Oh, our idols may look a little bit different, but we all can be tempted with our idols. And the message of the scriptures is that God is more awesome than all of our idols. In fact, the Apostle John warned us in 1 John 5:21, dear children, keep yourselves from idols. And God is more awesome than any person. You know, it's so commonplace for us today in our culture for us to worship different people, isn't it? I mean, I think about the people that we follow that are athletes. I think about those in the performance industries, Hollywood, movie stars, singers, all these folks that we follow after, all these people that we can call by name who we've never really met face to face and who wouldn't know us from Adam. Oh, we'll look at people and say, oh, this is an awesome person. Just look at the scripture, what the scripture says about that. The Bible says, do you not know in verse 21? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? Verse 22, this one of my favorite verses in the Bible. You'll see in just a minute. It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. It is he who sits above the circle of the earth. Literally, that word circle is the word sphere. 2,000 years before Christopher Columbus ever sailed the ocean blue, and everybody was scared because they thought the earth was flat, that he would fall off the edge, the Bible says right here in Isaiah's prophecy that the world is a sphere, by the way. Oh, God is more awesome than all the scientists. God is more awesome than all the rulers. The Bible says in verse 23, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Where are the pharaohs? Where's Caesar? Where's Napoleon? The Hitlers, the Stalins. It's interesting, when I was drawn back to this chapter of the Bible the other week, I looked up and I found about 10 plus years ago, I'd actually preached Isaiah 40. So I went and I pulled up my notes, what I'd written in my study, and I'd made a notation that even one day, Osama bin Laden will not be powerful. And as Paul Harvey used to say, we know the rest of the story. Loved ones, I want you to get this morning. God is more awesome than this earth, all nations, our idols. He's more awesome than any person. Say this with me. God is awesome, and His comfort and strength is all we need. But it culminates with this. Verse 25, he asked this question. We were singing this earlier. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. It's as if he invites us to come outside with him tonight. And he says, I want you to look up at the night sky. And you see all those stars in the sky. He says, who created these? He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name. Jeremiah, in his prophecy, says that there are too many stars for man to even number them. But here, Isaiah says God calls them by name. That's your awesome God, loved ones. That's your awesome God. The Bible here reminds us that this all happens, the Bible says at the end of verse 26, by the greatness of His might, because He is strong in power, not one of them is missing. You know, it is really amazing. It ought to be humbling to us. It ought to move us to worship, to consider how awesome our God is. He's more awesome than this earth, all nations, our idols, any person. I want to try to give you a little illustration here, okay? And you're going to have to listen real close. Now, there are 93 million miles between earth and the sun, okay? Now, I want you to imagine that the thickness of this piece of paper is equal to 93 million miles. You got that? All right, it's going to get a little harder. I'm going to have to read it, but I'm going to make sure I get this right. Now, if the thickness of this paper is equal to 93 million miles, and that's the distance from the earth to the sun, the distance across our galaxy would be a stack of paper like this, 310 miles high. The known universe size, it would be a stack of paper 31 million miles high. Folks, that's how big the universe is. Yet the Bible reminds us that God is more awesome. God is more awesome than this earth. He's more awesome than all the nations. He's more awesome than our idols. He's more awesome than any person. And He's more awesome than even the universe. God is awesome. His comfort and strength is all I need. Now, you're given this comparison of how God is more awesome than anything and anyone. And then look at how the chapter ends. It started telling us to be comforted. Now look at how it ends in verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Why would you ever think that God doesn't care? That God isn't loving? That God isn't in your midst? That God is too far off. Have you not known, verse 28, have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. God is awesome. Say that with me. God is awesome. Then look at verse 29. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. See, here it is. God is awesome. His comfort and strength is all we need. So I want to ask you this morning, have you been struggling with amnesia? You know, something seems to happen through the week. Sometimes it just seems from Monday to Sunday, we just begin to grow a little forgetful, don't we? About how big and how awesome our God is. You know, it's one of the reasons that, by the way, it's so important for us to gather here, for us to gather with God's people on Sunday morning, for us to sing praises, for us to encourage one another in Bible study and fellowship, for us to turn to the Word, for us to hear one another. Because it's in this gathering that the fog begins to lift. And what you walked in here with that seems so big, all of a sudden, well, you begin to see how it compares to God, don't you? God is awesome, and His comfort and strength is all that we need. And here's what's so amazing. We know that God has made a way for you and me, for each and every one of you to know Him personally. And that's Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And He told us, He said, no one comes to the Father but through me. But He told us that whosoever shall call upon Him shall be saved. We're told that Jesus Christ humbled Himself, Philippians chapter 2, becoming obedient unto death, so that you and I could be forgiven of our sins, so we could know the one true God personally. Folks, awesome God has made a way for you and me to know Him. Have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Have you gotten off your little man-made throne and said, oh, Lord God, Jesus, I repent of my sins and I put my trust in You. I shouldn't be on the throne anymore. You alone deserve to be on the throne. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Who's your hope in this morning? As the psalmist writes, is your hope in God? Or is it in something else? I want to invite you in just a moment. We're going to come to the concluding portions of this service. Pastor's going to lead you in that closing. I want to ask you, if you've never put your faith in Christ and put your hope in God, what's stopping you? God's awesome. His comfort and strength is all we need. Reminded of this little girl, she got through saying her nighttime prayers. She prayed for all kinds of things, you know, like kids will do. Pray for school, pray for friends, pray for family. Said her amen. She was crawling into bed. She stopped herself. She said, oh, wait a minute, God, forgot one thing. And oh, God, you just remember to take real good care of yourself, too, because if anything happens to you, we're going to be in a real big mess. I leave you with that because, folks, nothing's going to happen to him. Why, church? Because God is what? Awesome. Father, thank you for your word. God, help us. Today, the response may simply be us repenting of our forgetfulness. God, help us. Help us to remember when we wake up tomorrow morning, throughout the rest of the week, God, you're awesome, and your comfort and strength is all we need. In Jesus' name, amen.